Government's reintroduction of the alcohol ban with immediate effect has again triggered debate among South Africans, despite it being a bit at trying to reduce pressure on hospitals. The argument is that it's costing industry and will start filtering through more than it already has to failing businesses and job losses. So the economic implications are dire as well. Lucky Ntamani of the National Liquor Trade Council joins us now. Thanks so much, Lucky, for your time this evening. So there are hard realities that we're up against at the moment. Hospital capacity and resources are being tied up, dealing with victims of alcohol-induced violence, and then an industry losing billions in revenue with a myriad of trickle-down effects in the economy. Right at the top, are you seeing any merits in the restrictions being reinforced, or is this as simple as government avoiding taking responsibility for the crisis and shifting blame to the citizens?
Good afternoon and good afternoon to your viewers as well. Thank you for the opportunity. We think that this is a government shotgun approach, failure to take responsibility for what is essentially their lack of planning. They had an opportunity during the first lockdown to get things ready, to get hospitals ready and prepare themselves for what they termed the storm. But it seems like the storm caught them by surprise, and the easiest culprit that they could find was the liquor industry. So, I mean, we saw from the president's announcement, I mean, having to shut down an industry, an entire sector, in a matter of minutes. You know, it's absurd and it's shocking. And we haven't recovered from that shock as well.
Yeah. Lucky, it's caught governments worldwide, by surprise, though. And the figures that have been coming through are alarming. It's hard not to get worried about what's, according to the minister, hospital admissions in the emergency and trauma units of South African hospitals increasing by up to 60% when the ban on alcohol was lifted in June. Are you disputing the figures as well?
We have a serious problem with those numbers. Actually, Charles Perry this morning made mention of 50,000 beds that are going to be available in the next 8 weeks in the absence of alcohol. And we have been trying to reach out to government to try and establish a way in which we can work together to identify some of the challenges. We went as far as to ask them to share data with us so that we can pinpoint areas of concern, areas where we could come up with specific interventions. And we even went as far as to ask, specific provinces where the government could determine that they're going to be overwhelmed by the COVID-19 pandemic because we wanted to assist. Up to today, we haven't received anything. We wrote to the president when it became clear that there was going to be an announcement, and we only got a response late on Monday, and the response was actually not even a response that assisted us, but it was to guide us to talk to another ministry. So you could see that, there's some shifting of responsibility, from government to the president. So,
yeah. Let's give you some platform right now, Lucky. What's your advice to government when it comes to dealing with this issue and working to alleviate the pressure that sits on the healthcare system?
So we identified areas in which we could work together where we feel that, with a partnership with social experts, we could drive, an agenda that could help alleviate some of the issues that government is grappling with. Issue around gender-based violence and the linkage to alcohol, alcohol reduction harm, as well as drink and driving. So we actually sent a detailed plan to government to have a look at so that we could come and get liquor manufacturers to actually fund such initiatives. But, that happened, but to no avail from government side. We never heard from them.
So if, or if you don't see government come to the table on this, sticking to the reinstatement of this booze ban, what are the repercussions for industry here? What are we looking at?
I would advise government to really engage with us. We are part of the industry. We are part of the South African economy. Essentially, as liquor traders, we're also part of the township economy, which is the engine of the South African economy, as it were. So we'd like to make that plea to government to say they have another opportunity to consult with us, to talk to us, to tell us what's happening. When are they intending to keep us shut down? Because we will not be taking this lying down.
Yeah.
And if government does not come to the party, we will be able to take the next steps forward, which it will not be long. I'm sure in the next couple of hours, you'll be hearing an announcement from the liquor traders, the independent liquor traders, and also the taverners associations will be making an announcement to that regard. And it will not be.
If we broaden the parameters here and look at economic implications, Lucky, what are we looking at in terms of cost to industry right now?
So the cost to industry for the taverners is that we represent 4,500 taverners in the country. That includes Shebeen permit holders that employ on average 3 workers per tavern or Shebeen. And that translates into over 100,000 workers. And if you look at the taverns, they've got families to support, on average of 5 family members per tavern. So combined, you're looking at over 350,000 people that are affected by this directly. And if you look at the entire value chain, it employs close to 1 million people. And those people have got support structure as well under them that they have to look after. So easily looking at about 500,000 people affected by this. Sorry, about 5 million people affected by this.
While that happens, on the other side of the equation, to what extent has this fueled growth in the illicit liquor market?
I think the government speech, the only people that were happy with it are the illicit traders, those that thrive on criminality. And I'm sure wherever they're celebrating because they continue to make the money, at the expense of our traders who operate using legal means under strict liquor license regulations. And now they cannot make a living, and those that thrive on criminality are continuing to make a living through illicit means. So that concerns us as well.
Let's leave it there, Lucky. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Lucky Ntimane of the National Liquor Trade Council.